For the past several weeks, we've been working on a series exploring who are you, or who are we? And the name of the series of who are you, as we finish up today, I really want to know, who are you? And some of you have already taken the opportunity to introduce yourselves to me, and some of you I've met, whether you're sitting down or coming out, and some of you have even sent me a text or something on Messenger or even an email letting me know a little bit about you and introducing yourself to me. And I want to take the opportunity to get to know each and every one of you. So if you haven't done that yet, I encourage you, send me a message somehow and let me know who you are. And I look forward to getting to know you on a more personal and deeper level. And when you do this, let me know how I can help you serve God. Can you do that for me? All right. As we continue with worship this morning, our scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 15. We'll be reading verses 1 through 6. I invite you to take out your Bible and follow along with me as we hear the good news this morning. Here, Romans 15, beginning in verse 1. We who are powerful need to be patient with the weakness of those who don't have power and not please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good in order to build them up. Christ didn't please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. And whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction so that we could have hope through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures. May the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude toward each other, similar to Christ Jesus' attitude. That way, you can glorify God and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ together with one voice. It's a word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Holy God, as we worship you today, have your Holy Spirit stir up in us how we can be of one voice, how we can be of one people, how we can use the power that you have given us to not only be patient with others, but to lift them up as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever, anybody in here ever been on a safari? I heard you were going to raise your hand. Good. There's a few others. All right. Excellent. Now, when I'm saying safari, we had somebody in the first service say, I went on a safari at Disney World. And I wanted to say, close, but not quite what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about safari, I'm not talking about going to the zoo, even if it was a wild petting zoo. And I'm not even really talking about one of those animal sanctuaries where you get to see wild animals and some of them are roaming free and you're having to stay in your vehicle. Now, I'm talking about a safari where you go and you see wild animals in their natural habitat. And sorry, hunters, going deer hunting doesn't quite count. I've never been on a safari, but next time one of you all go, or if anybody decides to go, let me know so we can talk about how I can go with you. But I would like to go on a safari. But I have seen the show Animal Kingdom. Anybody remember that old TV show, Animal Kingdom? I think it was on PBS or something like that, but I mean, if anybody remembers that and you watched like I did when I was growing up, and it's like they were on constant safari, and they had these giant zoom lenses where they would watch and film animals from a distance. And there was no holding back. Whatever happened, they showed on the screen. And sometimes it was crazy and exciting, and sometimes it was sad and tragic. In some shows, I remember being so enthralled that I would yell, yeah, when the little baby would make it back to its mother without getting eaten. But when we look at these animals and when we watch them, what is it that they do? I mean, what do wild animals do in their natural habitat? Well, they do what God creates them to do, don't they? I mean, and if they don't do what God has created them to do, it usually doesn't end up well for them. Now let's think about it for a second. I mean, in their natural habitat, if you go on a safari, you might see some lions and some gazelles. And you might see the lions chasing down, trying to capture and eat the gazelles. Now, that's what they do. And the gazelles, they don't wake up some morning and say, "Nope, that's it. I'm done. I've had it. I'm through with this. No more am I going to be the one that's getting hunted by lions. Today, I'm hunting lions. Today, I am the hunter." We really don't see that, do we? Because I think if we ever did, it would not end up well for the gazelle. But when we think about us as humans, what do? Well, in essence, we imitate our Creator. See, our Creator created out of nothing. Before creation, nothing here that we know of, existed. And then God created something that didn't exist before. God created out of the void, out of the chaos, out of the mess. And God made something good. He made you very good. And in a way, that's also what we do. Because we as humans, we imagine things that don't exist. And then we make them happen. We get a crazy idea or we see a need. And we fill it. We create new things. And when we're at our best, we can go into the mess and into the chaos, and we can create something good. This is how God created us. This is what God created us to do. This is how we are in fellowship with God. See, and Jesus demonstrated this when he said that, when he had us look at everything that he did, and then said that we would do even more and greater things. Now wrap your mind around that for a second. Because I can only imagine what the world would be like if we stepped out of our comfort zone and truly embraced what God has for us and what God wanted to do through us. You know, for the past couple weeks, we've explored who we are and whose we are, that we are created in the image of God as very good, and that we are children of God, meaning that the promises of heaven and the kingdom of heaven are available to us right now through the Holy Spirit. So when we embrace that, what does that really mean for us? I have a friend who asks a series of questions that helps him think, that's called the what, and so what. And now we know the what and the what, the who we are and whose we are. Now, so what? What about it? So what are we going to do about it? Jesus taught us that we are going to do something about it. And that something is that we're going to serve someone. Jesus taught us that we will either serve ourselves, also known as mammon or greed or selfishness, or that we will serve someone else. But he said that we cannot serve two masters. We can only end up serving one. And I hope that we can all choose to serve God. Jesus demonstrated this service of God when he demonstrated the full nature of how we were originally created. That we were created not only image of God, but to be in fellowship with God. And that by being in fellowship with God, we become more like God or more like Jesus. And here's what I mean. Jesus is our best understanding of what God is really like. He is our greatest understanding of the true nature of God. And what did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? Did he show up on the scene and say, "Look, here I am, it's me. Come and adore, come and worship, come and serve me"? No. Jesus came humbly. And he demonstrated the unconditional love of God. And he did that with power and with patience through serving God by serving the people. He served the people back then, and he served even all of us, including you and me. He came to serve instead of being served. And if we want to be like him, then we are to serve instead of being served. And the thing is if we serve God, we show that service to God through love. See, and that's not only how we are created, but that's also how God recreates us from the inside out. And that's the core of the scripture that we're in today. Because when we read the book of Romans, this magnificent treatise by Paul on the service of God through understanding and responding God's love for us, we see that this is a lifetime ambition. And in our passage here today, Paul is making an argument that as we mature in Christ, as we grow closer to God, that we become stronger. That as our faith and trust in God grows, we become stronger. And this means that as we learn to follow and be more like Christ, we become more powerful like Christ. However, this power that develops in us, this power through the Holy Spirit that arrives in us, it's not for us. It isn't for us. It's not for our own pleasure, not for our own selfish ambitions and desires and wants. It's not a way to get our own way or to make our own selves feel good. Instead, it's the power to do what is good and right and pleasing and perfect to God. But on this journey, it's just as important to remember that not everyone else is where we are. Because this is a different journey for some of us. It's a longer journey for some. It's a shorter journey for others. There are times where it's easier, and there are times where it's more difficult. And at some point in time, it's a struggle for all of us. At some point in time, we're going to realize that we are not all traveling at the same pace. Therefore, when we find that we're not at the same place as somebody else or somebody isn't traveling at the same pace as us, we must have patience and mercy and realize it's an opportunity to extend kindness and gentleness to those around us. After all, there are days when we all struggle, right? Sometimes this life is hard. Sometimes we get wounded or insulted in the process. And sometimes we get insecure in the process. Yet even when we're wounded or hurting or insulted or feeling insecure, even when it's hard, we don't give up. You may have had a similar experience. But when we first begin this journey, when we first get serious about living our life for Jesus, living a life that follows Jesus, You may have seen somebody that you looked up to, that you really respected, and you thought, man, I'll never be like them. Or you may know what you need to do, and you may have the idea to do something good, but you think, man, I'll never get there. Because you find yourself continuing to struggle or continuing to slip or continuing to make the same bad decisions over and over. And it seems like doing what is right is impossible at the moment. Yet what do? You keep trying. You try again. And you don't quit. You don't give up. You keep pressing forward. And then gradually, you learn to make a better decision. You learn not to make the bad decision. Eventually, you get better at it. And over time, you learn to overcome. And you develop the strength to avoid temptation. You develop the power to resist evil. And you gain the spiritual power to do good. And as we go through this process, on this journey, we realize that when the road gets tough, the tough do what? That's right, the tough get going. And that's you. Because you've been strengthened by God through the Holy Spirit. And so you continue to do what is right. Even when it seems like the world is around you, wants you to quit, wants you to give up, wants you to throw in the towel, you find that God is right there with you. And God is encouraging you. And God is helping you keep going. You find that God has given you the strength to continue pressing forward. You find that God has given you the endurance to hold on, to hold fast, to not let go, to not give up, and to do whatever it takes short of sin to serve and love God. This is what God has gifted you to do. And Jesus encourages us for this in Matthew 5. He says that you are the salt of the world. He said, you are salt, my salt of the world. You add flavor to the lives of those around you. So don't lose your saltiness. Don't lose your flavor. But he says, you're not only salt, you're light. You're my light. You're my beautiful light of the world. And I'm not going to hide you. I'm not going to cover you up or stick you in a hole or hide you in a closet. No, I'm going to put you on a tall stand or on a pole up high for all to see so you can shine bright and so people far off can see your light. And when you shine, when you add good flavor to the world and to the people's lives around you, by the way that you live, by the way that you make life better and make others better at life through Jesus Christ, when you do that, then people will praise God. You are a source of people giving praise to God. So today we have the opportunity to put this into practice. As we prepare to celebrate communion, as we prepare to celebrate the spiritual presence of Jesus with us, let's meditate on the truth that when we receive the elements, we are receiving the body and the blood of Christ into our body. And in effect, we become the body of Christ, redeemed by the blood of Christ. We become the hands and the feet of Christ. And so as a result, when we go from here today, after having received communion, being together with one another, we have an opportunity to serve God as the body of Christ, by being the body of Christ, as the hands and the feet and the ears and the eyes and the heart and the mind of Christ. Let's reflect on that for a moment. Let me ask you some questions. Do we have the eyes and the ears of Christ? Are we looking and listening for those who need God's love and for ways to show it? Do we have the heart of Christ? Do we have the willingness to love the unlovable, even when it's inconvenient? Do we have the mind of Jesus? Are we being wise with our time and energy and resources? Are we making sure that we are harmless, making sure not to pile on burdens of guilt and shame and pain on those who are really in need of more grace and mercy? Side note, the only people Jesus really offended and criticized were the self-righteous religious leaders. So when we are thinking more about serving others and serving God than ourselves, what are ways that we can serve today? Do we need to volunteer at the Wesley Kitchen or at the food bank or at the Christian clinic or for Hope for All? Do we need to help with the children or youth ministry? Do we need to be a positive encouragement for those around us to wear masks and be vaccinated? Do we need to visit or call or write those who are in the hospital or who cannot leave their house? Do we need to add the church to our will or trust so that we can support its ministries for generations to come? What is it that God has gifted you to do? What strength has God given you to help you overcome the struggles and to help you serve and be an encouragement and be salt and light to the world? Whatever it is, be encouraged by this fact that God loves you more than you can imagine, and there is nothing that you can do about it. So let's hold on to that. And let's be of one body, united in the Lord, by being who we are created to be, remembering who we belong to, and putting on the attitude of Christ so that we can use our strength to serve the Lord. Amen.